Can you identify this voice?
And it was a falsetto, I'd say.
Well, what's this? Well,
You know, and the guy said, well, that's as good as anything. Why don't you do it?
In the next half hour, you will hear the voices of some of the world's best-known personalities on radio's newest, most exciting, fun game, Says Who. Yes, it's time for Says Who. And here's the star of Says Who, Henry Morgan.
Thank you very much, and good evening. We have an interesting panel ready to play Says Who, but before we introduce them to you, let's listen to this message.
Did you fill up the gas tank of my swept-wing Dodge?
Yes, I did. That'll be 80 cents. She didn't need no oil or nothing.
Okay, wipe off the windshield, will you?
Yeah. Hey, this is some big windshield, boy.
Yes, it's a Dodge picture window windshield.
I can't reach the middle part, right up there where it curves back. Hold my ankles and boost me out on the hook.
All right.
Up you go. My, this is a big car. I still can't reach all the windshield.
Well, just walk out on the hood and finish it up.
Okay. Boy, you must be rich to own a big car like this.
Well, actually, Dodge costs less than 59 different models of the low-price field. I just got all the car I was paying for.
I forgot my squeegee.
Here it is.
Why, I could afford a Dodge.
Come on, we'll see a Dodge dealer.
Well, put up to the pump and I'll swing down.
Now let's meet our panel. First, Joey Adams.
Henry, glad to see you.
Thank you. Next, Dagmar.
Hello, everybody.
Orson Dean.
Hi, lovable Henry.
And Jim Backus.
Oh, my George, how are you?
And that is our panel. My George. Panel, I know you're familiar with the rules. We play a voice, which you will try to identify. The listener suggesting the voice gets $15. If you fail to come up with the right answer, we'll send the listener a Benrus wristwatch. You have the voice text on a card in front of you. Let's try the game. Now, this voice was suggested by Mrs. M.O. Jonas of San Francisco, California.
How dare you make fun of my private life? Does that just tell us that by using this to make fun of it? I like my own, I tell you. You impudent upstart. Oh, I haven't begun to tell you what I think of you.
May we have our offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
That was the voice of all-time favorite stage and screen star, Madeline Carroll.
Well, let's try a little bit of Old Says Who, a game with which we're becoming a little more familiar. Joey Adams, you want to start?
This girl is talking to somebody. This Frenchman she's talking to. Is she upset with him particularly?
What Frenchman, Joe?
He says he's a parasite.
Suppose in years to come we're able to make a sale of this show in France. You know what you've done to it.
Well, no, what I don't mean this in a ubiquitous or pristine manner. I mean it didactically.
Good. And we go to Dagmar.
Is that all right, what he just said?
I $10.
Oh. And she's a movie actress, isn't she?
Oh, dear.
The girl that just heard on the record?
Yes.
I see. Did she always cry a lot in the movies?
Not necessarily.
Did she roll her eyes a lot?
Oh, she wiggled them a little.
Did she ever play in the movies where she was a Southern belle, like Jezebel?
Not to my knowledge.
Because I know she's Southerner. I can always tell that. Well, this girl, she makes movies. Does she also do television?
No.
Does she do Broadway shows?
No. And we go to Orson Dean.
Is this girl still with us? I mean to say, has the great croupier cashed in the chips?
Well, she eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's put it that way.
She's still around, eh? Is she still in the prime?
I don't know how late prime is. She's
no slip of a lass. I mean, she's a full-blown woman at this point.
Let's put it that way, if you like.
Dagmar, I just put a knife in my back.
Now, I gave you a loving look, honey. You keep going, you're cute.
This young lady, is this bit of dialogue, as far as you know, from a part she played, or was she really mad about something?
No, it's from a part.
Oh, it was a part.
Sure.
So she was playing the part, I presume, of a celebrity who was having her private life interfered with, right?
Yeah.
Is it from a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from a movie. And this girl, was she a big star?
Yes, she was big.
Like a big comedian known as that?
She wasn't necessarily a comedian, and we go to Jim Baggett.
Well, is this, obviously you said it was a soundtrack from a motion picture. And, is it, an older picture?
Yes.
A picture made before 1940.
I don't think it's that old.
It isn't that old. Then you would say it is one of the truly great stars of the motion picture.
She was
the traditional movie queen.
Yeah, she was quite large.
Oh, you mean career-wise?
Career-wise.
Oh,
yeah.
Not
like a big large star.
No. Was it Claudette Colbert?
No. And we go to Joey Adams.
Is she an American?
Yes.
An American star who is Southern?
No.
Southern? No.
Was she known for any particular type of pictures?
Not necessarily, and I just got a note from a sneaky informant. She was born in England, and that'll tell you.
Charles Lawton. The fact that she was born in England has nothing to do with me. I don't care where she was born. I said American, you said no. She is American, and she's English, right?
Right.
But she made her fame here?
Right.
Did she go back there to make pictures?
No.
Is she known for any particular type of fiction?
No.
Well, how do you know what I'm going to ask?
What do I care?
He loves that word.
Then we go to Dagmar.
It's true. You're really the final agree of this show. All right.
No, I'm not well.
It's not Betty Davis, is it?
That's right.
I wanted you to say no. Could it be Deborah Carr?
Certainly.
Is it?
No.
Oh, God. Betty Hutton?
Dag, I don't
know. I know, but I like to think of some names, honey, that's all I can think of. Is this girl about 50 years old?
You give me a great problem here. The answer is yes. And we go to Orson Dean.
You don't care what I ask you, eh?
I don't care what happens. I don't think I'm going to live out the half hour.
Jim Backus has an idea. Whisper it to me and I'll give it. So I'll wait. Is that it?
What's her last name?
I don't
know. What is it, Jim?
Nylon Carroll.
Jim, would you be good enough to tell me how you got to that from that woggly premise we'd established?
The English is what did it, because she didn't sound English in that soundtrack. I'm very sorry.
Boy, you worked it out fine. In any event, I sent $15 to Mrs. M. O. Jonas of San Francisco, California. Send your regards to Jim Backus. Let's try one other game. This voice was suggested by Ruby Mahler of Chicago, Illinois.
The fellow who leans in both directions at the same time is likely to find himself either on his face or the back of his head. I should think that we've got to spend a little time really standing up straight and thinking about this.
May we have our offstage announcer identify this voice, please?
That voice belonged to former Secretary of State, Dean Acheson.
This is a little bit of a surprising one. Dagmar, Bumpo says who?
Yes. Does this man make a lot of speeches?
Yes.
We need to make these speeches. Do people in the audience get in different positions?
How's that?
We make speeches. Do people in the audience get in different positions? I mean, like kicking or waving or putting their hands up like this?
Oh, you mean like...
I'm thinking of Bernard McFadden.
Were you, dear?
Yes.
Well, let's change your thinking. No good.
Did you ever write a book?
Yes.
Did he write a book on how to win friends?
No, it wasn't on that subject.
Was it a serious book?
Sure.
Would I like it?
No.
I'll pass.
All right, we go to Orson. Well, I have to be honest here. We go to Orson Dean.
Would I like the book, Morgan?
You probably would be interested in it.
But you'd love it, right? I figure a natural progression.
Well, I don't think I'd be terribly enchanted with it. I'd read it.
Well, that's a cross-section of American life that nobody likes it yet. Was it a success?
It sold a few copies.
Has it come out in 25-cent form yet?
I don't think it ever will.
Oh. Well, most of the good books you come out in 25-cent form.
Wasn't a bad book.
No.
Maybe it's encyclopedia or something like that.
You can still put a girl in the cover and sell an encyclopedia.
I think those pocketbooks are silly. Who could read a book in a pocket?
Well, if you had a light in there, you could look at it. Orson, you were saying
she had a big pocket.
Hasn't everybody?
Say, you're getting pretty funny, but nobody in turn, and it's Orson's turn, and...
You're sure it's not Bernard McFadden?
You bet. And we go to Jim Backus.
Is this fellow that wrote this book, is he like the late Robert Benchley? I mean, is he an author and also a performer?
No.
He was essentially an author.
No.
But you said he was a writer, though, Henry.
No, I didn't. I said he wrote a book.
Well, I mean, to write a book, you can't... You have to write...
Yeah, but that doesn't make you a writer.
Sure, I mean, you dictated it?
Well, no, it isn't that. I don't want to mislead you. You know, this man never made a living as a writer.
It was more of a pamphlet he wrote, right?
Is his occupation writing?
No, not at all. And we go to Joey Adams.
Well, is he the same kind of writer that I am a writer?
No, Joey.
You mean you don't write as good? Or is that no meaning I don't write as good as him?
As good as whom?
As good as him.
As good as him? No, this man wrote as well as Hume, but he wrote a different field of...
Oh, because my book is the fifth printing. The first four were blurred.
What's the name of your book, Joey?
The newest one, Cindy and I. It's about Zeldin's son.
What are the names of the first four, Joe?
I don't think I want to tell because you're sarcastic. But Henry.
Tell me, I'm sweet.
I'll tell you later. Now, this man is a writer. Does he write about show business?
He's not a writer.
The one book he wrote, was it about his experience in the show business?
No.
In politics?
Yes.
Was he an important man in politics?
Yes.
In America?
Yes.
Was he,
Are you trying to shout louder than I am?
Was he a Secretary of State?
Who?
The man who wrote the one book.
Yes.
He was a Secretary of State? I think I got it, Henry. You wrote one book. It was the Secretary of State during Truman's administration.
And we go to Dagmar. Dad?
What was your administration when you go to me? What was that?
What, dear?
Somebody sent me a name. Is it Dean Acheson?
How did you ever get that? Seriously.
I know how she got it.
I had it on the tip of my tongue, and she reads tongues.
She sent $15 to Ruby Mahler of Chicago, Illinois. Now, panel, the next voice was suggested by Pearl Altman of Brooklyn, New York. Let me have our off-stage announcer identify this voice, please.
You are listening to the voice of Harry Ritz, the zaniest member of the Ritz Brothers comedy team.
I'll tell you this, panel, if you guess this one, I think the fix is in. Let's play a little says who and Orson Bean with Sarah Hughes.
Is that the ever-popular Raymond Navarro?
Ever popular? Was he ever? No, I didn't.
That's not. Is it a fellow from Early Talkies?
Oh, he was in Early Talkies.
Is this from a soundtrack of an Early Talkie?
No.
It's from an early phonograph recording.
It is that.
It's a real scratchy one, isn't it?
Isn't it? And we go to Jim Backus.
Was this from a popular record?
I don't think it's ever got popular.
I like it.
I like it, too. Is this fellow...
It was probably in your house. Then you
With my telescope, I'm gazing.
That was popular in your house, too, right?
That was popular. was he in motion pictures?
At times. Then we go to Joey Adams.
Is this fellow a singer primarily?
No, Joe.
He has other things in show business that he does?
Yes.
Is he a dancer?
No.
Is he a comedian?
Yes.
He's a comedian that sings?
Sort of.
Does he have his own show on television?
No, he doesn't.
Does he work with anybody else in his act?
Yes.
He works with somebody else. This fellow is one of more than two people. One of three people?
Yes.
One of three people.
Yes.
Are they an act like, lay back and read, a thing like that?
Yes, and we go to Dagmar.
You know, you do that just when I get hot, you go to Dagmar.
You come over here to me, and I want to know, did this boy used to use a megaphone?
No, dear.
It's not Rudy Valley.
That's right.
All right. So this boy, this picture, can he still do pictures?
No, honey.
Did you work primarily in nightclubs now?
Yes.
Could it be Kenny Delmar?
Sure.
But it isn't,
no, dear.
Does he play in Vegas? Is he that famous right now that he could work in Vegas?
No.
Las Vegas?
No.
Is he look in Wildwood, New Jersey?
Well, look, that could be true of almost anybody. I doubt it, though.
It's not Harry Ritz of the Ritz Brothers.
Sure it is.
Now, Albert, he said in three people the actors, and I just saw the Ritz Brothers. I can't think of another.
Can I tell you something? I put the Ritz Brothers right in her lap, and there's plenty of room, too. I hate to say this, but Harry is a very close friend of mine, and I heard him do this particular number. He does these kind of songs, lyric songs. He does these kind of things at home, and I don't think this is a soundtrack. I think this is taken off from a record that he did kiddingly.
This is what he did before. No, sir. This was a legitimate commercial recording.
Well, I'm not saying he's not legitimate, this fellow. I'm just saying I heard him do this before. Mr. Kefauver, can I go now?
Well, after I send $15 to Pearl Harbor, New York, panel, you're McNulty. If you people at home would like to suggest a voice for Says Who, here's Hal Sims to tell you how you can do it. Simply write your name and address and the mystery voice you suggest on a postcard and mail to Says Who, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York 22. In case of duplication, the card bearing the earliest postmark will be chosen. Please remember, only postcard entries are eligible and only one entry on each postcard. If we use your suggested voice, you'll receive $15. If the panel fails to come up with the right answer, you'll receive a Ben Russ wristwatch. All entries become the property of CBS Radio. If you'd like tickets for our show, just write to CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York 22, New York. Now back to Henry Morgan. And this voice was the one you heard at the beginning of the show, and it was suggested by Mr. Oscar T. Kahn of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And it was a false setter, I'd say.
Yeah, like this. Well, ha-ha-ha-ha.
You know, and the guy said, well, that's as good as anything. Why don't you do it? So, ever since then, I've been doing it. Of course, age has crept on, and I've got a little husky.
May we have our offstage announcer identify that voice?
That was the voice of the creator of Mickey Mouse and other beloved cartoon characters, Walt Disney.
This is pretty cute. A little Says Who fan, and Arthur, it's your turn.
Well, I have a horrible feeling that I recognize those couple of words that he said in falsetto.
Go.
I have no idea what his name is, but is this the man who does the voice of Mickey Mouse?
Yes.
Because I am an old Horace Horse Collar fan.
So what's the name of the man who does the work?
I told you, I have no idea, but I've given the panel a clue. They can take it from there.
All right, it's Jim Backus' turn. Jim, you want to try it?
Jim should. No, but this is the man who does the voice of Mickey Mouse.
That's right.
Walt Disney.
Well, I was lucky there, Henry.
I think Orson did a good job.
I do, too. I think
he really
gets
it.
It's an assist. That really kills me because, you know, I'm the kind of naive fellow. The two things I know, one I know is that Disney or is me did Mickey Mouse. And I thought everybody knew
that.
Right.
I never knew that.
In any event, I sent $15 to Mr. Oscar T. Kahn of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Each week, we give people at home a chance to play Says Who. We play a voice, the panel asks a few questions, and you take it from there. If you think you know whose voice it is, you're asked to mail us a postal card. Let's listen to just a portion of the voice we played for you last week. That was the voice of the great Fanny Bryce. Now, there was a three-way tie. The postcards we receive with the right answers and bearing the exact same postmarks according to time belong to Mrs. Betty Glenn of Anaheim, California, Ruth M. Collins of New York, New York, and Dwayne Brown of Robbinsville, Texas. Congratulations to the three of you. Your $25 each will soon be on the way. Now, here's another chance for everybody at home to play say, says who. Listen to this voice.
I remember that it happened in the moonlight. And I never know exactly how it
let's see if we can establish anything for people at home. Jim Backus, would you start?
Well, from the arrangement of,
yeah,
of the music, that is.
Of course.
That is someone from an early recording.
Yeah.
And is this person also an actress?
Yes. And we go to Joy Adams.
Very pretty girl.
Well, she's attractive.
Is she around today?
She's around.
Is she still in show business?
I don't think so.
Well, Henry, you should know you got it written now on your card.
No, all I have on the card is her name.
Oh, you know her name, right?
I hesitate to answer that. Let me go to Dagmar.
Did she sing in some of the first talking pictures?
Among the early ones.
Was she better known for acting than her singing?
Yes.
Was she a star? I mean, did she star in pictures?
She was sort of number two.
Number two?
Yeah, like a second banana.
So this singing, does this mean she did on the side?
Sort of. Do you people at home think you know the answer? Write it on a card, together with your name and address, and mail it to Says Who Contest, Post Office Box 2150, Grand Central Station, New York 17. The correct answer with the earliest postmark wins $25. Upon which you can establish a fortune. Remember, only postcard entries are eligible, and you must mail your card no later than midnight this Wednesday. Duplicate prizes will be awarded for ties, and good luck. Want to try another round of Says Who?
I'd like to.
Good luck, Henry. I hope you make it through the next two rounds.
I hope I make it through the next sentence. This voice was suggested by Mr. C.H. Godfrey of New York.
Six left. Is an organization made up of men prominent in business and social circles, some of them of international reputation. Its president is General Thomas H. Hubbard, its vice president, Felix Kane, and its secretary, Robert L. Griffin.
May we have our offstage announcer identify that voice, please?
You were listening to the voice of the man who discovered the North Pole, Admiral Peary.
This is a real singer. Now, let's try a little Says Who. Joey Adams, you start.
Is this part of an organization made up of prominent men in business and social circles, some of them internationally famous? Well, let's get these names internationally famous. Thomas Hubbard, Zenas Crane, and Herbert Bridgman. That's like the Roosevelt Act. Lay back and read, or sit up and write. I don't know. Now, let's get it. This guy who's talking about them, is he in the business world?
No, he wasn't.
Henry, this man, is he famous for a particular deed?
Yes.
Well, did he fly over to Paris from New York for the first time?
Where'd you get the flying part?
Lundberg flew across the sea.
Congratulations, and we go to Dagmar.
Well, you congratulate me. He did.
I know, but you were supporting him, and I think it's worthwhile.
I didn't give him a penny.
It was about time.
Was this recording, was this an expert from an old play?
Mm-hmm.
Is this an expert from an old play?
An expert?
Is what an expert from an old play?
This thing you just played.
Is it an expert?
She means export.
If I knew what I meant, I wouldn't make a sense.
Miss Pag, you said, is this an expert from no plane? I imagine you meant, expert?
No, whatever you like.
Not me, play it your way.
Was he giving a speech?
Yes.
Did he do something we all know about? But I know about it.
And we go to Earth and Beam.
Is this the ever popular Roscoe Needleman?
Nice clothes. Give one.
Well, he was in the same business as Roscoe Needleman.
He was even better off, I think. And we got to
is that. This voice that we heard, is it now part of the historical archive?
Yes.
Henry, this is from, we'll say, recordings of famous men who have passed on.
It's I am a funeral. I'm involved in a bunch of nuts.
So, Henry.
This was the voice of Admiral Peary, who
it's Admiral Peary.
No, Peary.
That's all. And who is the guy on Lake Erie?
That's Peary.
Henry, you're right. It's Peary. It's spelled P-E-A-R-Y, right?
Just a minute. Smart to come back and says, Henry, you're right. What made him a dictionary all of a sudden?
Jim does not have to be friendly.
That had Johann Sebastian Peary. I know him well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. What a group. Anybody want to send for any of these people? Just write your name and address on a postal card. We'll be sending to you the
set.
No,
let me break it up. You got to take all of them.
Henry, it's postcard.
Postal card.
Jim, what is it?
It's postal card.
Longer gets to the post office, what's the difference?
After all, Henry, you should know. You're an expert. This program is really getting historical.
When was this record made?
Mr. C.H. Godfrey of New York, gets a Benrus wristwatch. Now, here are a few words of interest. When a cold strikes, you feel miserable all over your body. So you want relief all over, too. And today, a truly amazing new liquid medication can do exactly that. Brings faster, more thorough relief. It's new four-way liquid cough and cold medication. It's scientists' latest discovery for fighting cold distress. Relief with four-way liquid is so complete, it can take the place of nose drops, cough syrup, aspirin. The benefits of all three are now combined in this one great new medicine, four-way liquid. Almost at once, its modern medicines, including exclusive Rinosec, can make you feel better all over when you have a cold. Four-way liquid can open stuffed-up nose, soothe sore throat, ease cough, relieve headache and body pains. And remember, it's already liquid, instantly ready to speed wonderful relief throughout the body. Contains exclusive Rinosec, too. That's why new four-way liquid can bring more relief and faster relief of cold misery. Get pleasant-tasting four-way liquid cough and cold medication today. That winds up this week's show. We hope you enjoyed playing Says Who. We hope you join Rivers Alive next week. Now I'm here to say goodnight is Joey Adams.
Good night, Henry. Good night, everybody.
Dag and Bar.
Good night, Henry. And good night, everybody.
Orson Dean.
Well, a little late, so good night, folks.
I Jim Backer.
Good night, Henry. Good night, everybody.
This is Henry Morton. Good night, everybody.
Who was created by Sidney Resnick, directed by Dick Spencer, and produced by Mike Oppenheimer for Frank Hooper Productions in cooperation with CBS Radio. Every morning on CBS Radio, our World News Roundup calls in CBS overseas correspondents in the new centers of the world. Washington, London, Rome, Bonn, Paris, and Tokyo. They're all brought to your breakfast table whenever important stories break to make sure you start each day well informed. On weekday evenings, Edward R. Murrow with the News brings you up to date on the exciting things that happen while you work. With a perspective sharpened by years of experience, Edward R. Murrow brings clarity and interest to every report he makes. Now stay tuned for the CBS News, to be followed by the Mitch Miller Show over most of these same stations. The Star's address is the CBS Radio Network. This is Radio Miami, 50,000 watt WGBS.